Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Pelican Scoop. It is I, Lyle Swithenbank, your host, as always, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter is my handle. At Hoopball Pels is the show. It's a hoop-ball.com presentation, as you know. So, there's been a fair bit going on. And as I try to do, I always get an interesting guest to come on and chat hoops. And I've no exception today. We've got a very special guest who's joined us before on the pod. It was a little while ago now, but he's thankfully had a bit of spare time to jump on and have a chat with us. We'll bring him on in a little bit. Before I do that, I will quickly plug the sponsors because I don't want to interrupt our guest. So, of course, this show is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Make sure you go over there and use my bookie for all of your betting. It's always a good place to put some money in. Apparently, you can cash out with e-checks and also Bitcoin if you're that way inclined. So that's good fun. Also, manscaped.com. Make sure you go and do that. It's always a good spot as well to get your shaving stuff, so make sure you go and do that. Use HoopBall20, that'll get you 20% off and also free shipping, so make sure you go and do that. That's a good spot as well. And, of course, ExpressVPN. So, if you need a VPN to move your location around and access different things, well, use ExpressVPN. Go to expressvpn.com/hoopball. That would be great. And you'll be able to find all of your needs there, and it'll show that Hoopball sent you. Of course, make sure you go over and check out the plans that we've got over at Hoopball for all your fantasy stuff, fantasy pass, wager pass, and Hoopball 360. They're all really good, honestly. The tools that you get, I wouldn't send you there if I didn't think they're any good. So make sure you go and access those and sign up. It's $4.99 a month for the Fantasy Pass, and that is awesome value. If you just want the Brewski 150 itself, that'll cost you $30. So it actually works out a little bit cheaper. If you get the $4.99 and you're locked in for 6 months, which is right when you need your fantasy draft and all of that information. So go and do that for me. Otherwise, I'm going to bring in our special guest. Now, we spoke to him back in May, which it doesn't feel that long ago, but apparently it was. You know, we had the whole bubble and the shutdown and then now the restart. There's a fair bit going on, I suppose, in the middle. The year has absolutely flown, but he's found a bit of time for us to have a chat. And so, joining me on the podcast, well, first time since May, I can't believe it's been that long, but is Andrew Lopez from ESPN. Andrew, how are you going?
It's going good, man. I was trying to think about that earlier today. When was the last time I was on? And I couldn't. I knew it was pandemic time, but I don't know. The last like 6-7 months have all kind of run together. You could have told me we did this in August and I'd have believed you.
That's what I'll see. I was scrolling through and actually you were the inaugural guest on the show. So there you go. We've come full circle now. And
what a way to start. It was only probably uphill for me then, I guess.
Well,
No, not at all. It was great to have your insights on, and that's why I was like, I've got to get Andrew back on. We've got another season firing up. We've just had this weird pandemic bubble. Guys are getting signed left, right, and center. I mean, we were talking about last off season in the first podcast, and we're already back into one. Whirlwind or what?
It was a weird one, man. It was so quick. Because when you think about it, the regular season ended the first – I thought, well, the regular season. The NBA season ended up ending in, mid-October, over a year after the season started when you account for preseason games and things like that. And then in a span of, 5 days, we had the draft, free agency, trade. Like, so everything was just kind of happening in such a short time frame, a short time span that – It was wild. David Griffin kind of mentioned today that he was kind of going full speed over and over and over, and like it was just one constant thing. I'd assume it would be akin to like pulling all nighters in college when you're trying to to stay up for an exam at 7 in the morning or something like that, and you just stay up all night study. And that's kind of what it was for them trying to piece this all together. So. It was definitely a different experience for front offices, different experience for reporters, all trying to put together and make sure this happens, because now, we're, about to start training camp. Preseason games start on December 11th. The season starts on December 22nd. So good luck. Here it all goes.
Yeah, we're back into it. I got to catch a little bit of the media availability today, and Griff said it was a sprint of a marathon, or a marathon of a sprint, I think he said. And it was just, it has been. We went on hiatus, didn't really know what to expect. All of a sudden, they're like, we're all going to Disneyland. Usually you say that after you win a flag, but we were going there beforehand. And did you get to go into the bubble, or were you just from the outside?
No, I was not important enough to go into the bubble. I did not. I was not there. There was a possibility, obviously, if they made it into the playoffs, there was like a layered system if you going in. So like there were certain people who had access, like Malika Andrews, Mark Spears. Those they were in the bubble, getting tested every day. Being able to interact with players. There was a second layer of the bubble. Dave McMenamin was kind of in both of those. He was on the outside first and then got onto the inside, and there was a waiting period. So there was a lot of restrictions going on who was there. But I'll say this. It was a great effort by the NBA to put that on and make it and finish the season. I know there were a lot of people who didn't think that they were going to be able to finish. So the fact that they were able to get that done was a major, major accomplishment. But no, but I was not there because I am not that important yet.
Oh, well, surely next bubble they'll be getting you in there. But I just can't believe that they managed to pull it off. And to the magnitude that they did, I mean, no cases at all. Pretty impressive, really. But it shows that it works. So now we're going to go and try it out in the real world and see if we can make it work. The Pelicans will obviously didn't have that great of a showing in the bubble.
Right.
I mean, fair enough.
It was a bad showing. Now you can go ahead and say it. It was a bad showing. It was. I don't think that lived up to anybody's expectations, especially when you went in talking about being the possible favorite to get the 8 seed. To outright get the 18, not alone being that 8-9 play-in game. So for you to go in, beat Memphis like you wanted to do, but fail in all those other games was not a very good bubble experience for the Pels at all.
Yeah, and we saw the, I suppose, demise of Lonzo's shooting again. He come so far. I know when we talked in May, it was like, look at this guy. He's turned the corner, and then all of a sudden he's gone back, and we were seeing on Instagram pictures of him in the weight room, and we're going, look, this guy looks ready. And it just really didn't happen for him, unfortunately.
With Lonzo, a lot of his shot, a lot of his play is based on confidence. And when he was healthy from probably about Christmas on, till the regular season was suspended, from that point on, those 3 months, he was a confident shooter. He was shooting over 40% during that stretch. He lacked confidence in the bubble, and you can see, and he let one or two or three games get to him. He did kind of have he finished strong, I think, with that Sacramento game, but he played terrible. And I think he knows that. I think the team knew that. I know for a fact that they were trying to kind of wait and see how things were going to be with him. They didn't want to kind of make decisions based off the bubble play because he still was a very good player. But he's a player who I expect big things from this year because I think his shooting is still going to be a big part of this. Now Eric Bledsoe is going to handle probably more of the point guard duties in the half court, but I think you're going to see Lonzo be able to be a little bit more of a spot up shooter. And the big thing that Stan talked about was they want him to be more aggressive in the pick and roll. And this is something when I tweeted it out, I had Lakers fans coming and telling me, we've been saying this for years, be more aggressive. And I think what Stan said was in the pick and roll, Lonzo, because he's such a great passer, always looks to pass off of the pick and roll. And what he needs to do is look to score first. And because he is such a good passer, the further he gets down, he's able to make those dishes. And I think that's what they want to see more of. But I do think he'll be used more off ball than before, but I still think you're going to see an improved version of Lonzo. I think you see more of that guy who was, 13, 8, and 7 rather than the guy who is, was shooting 27% or whatever it was in the bubble.
Yeah, he was building houses with his jump shot, unfortunately. It was not very good at all, but we then left the bubble with our, I think it was 2-6 record or something, and washed out after that. Yeah. Alvin was then relieved of his role, and we brought in Mr. Van Gundy. A year out of the game, he was very vocal throughout the bubble as an announcer, and I thought he was right onto it. He got his Twitter account verified. I thought he was great. Yeah,
he was so – that was kind of the worst thing for me, I guess, was we don't get to hear him over there, but then just in talking to him today, we saw how much he just loves talking basketball. And that was such a great thing to hear. It's just him just being able to talk hoops, break down the game. And I think that's going to be something that these young guys learn from early on.
Well, he's going to bring that defensive mindset, you'd think, the toughness that maybe at times, instead of trying to run people off the floor and outscore them, we might actually stop them scoring at the other end, which I think is I think something we need to work on and hopefully address this.
The big thing for Stan, I remember there's a clip of him. It's an end of game clip from his time in Detroit. I think they're playing the Pacers, and the cameras are in the huddle, and you can hear him say, form a blanking wall. And I think with Steven Adams and Zion Williamson and these guys, you have the talent to form that wall. And they're definitely going to build on defense. Griff talked about it today when they were going out and trying to get these guys for bringing all these new acquisitions. They were looking for toughness. They were looking for grit. They were looking for defensive-minded guys who are just gritty type of guys who are going to give it all on that side of the floor. And, maybe you'll see some games where the Pels are, both teams are going to be under 100 points. I don't know. I think you're still going to want to run because you're still going to want to take advantage of, I think, some of the strengths of this team. But I think that you're going to see a much more defensive-minded team. Stan Van Gundy has finished 11 seasons as a head coach. He left in the middle of one season. But in the 11 seasons he has finished, his team has ranked top half of the league in defensive efficiency 10 out of those 11 years. They've been first, I think, three times, including all his years in Detroit, where they didn't have a lot of on-court success. He was under 500 overall, but three of those years, they were a top 10 defense. So Even if nothing else goes right, I feel good about this team being a top half of the league defensive team next year.
Well, that's something, yeah, hopefully comes to fruition. I mean, the screens are going to set for JJ, let's be honest. He's going to be in a paddock, running around. Absolutely. Stephen Adams and Zion, you know, and big Will Magnay. I reckon they must have heard me. I was screaming. Let's get an Aussie on there. I mean, I was hoping it was going to be me, but they did, you know, best they played.
Hey, you know what? They still got 10-day contracts. They still got, you know, they still got a couple slots left. You never know.
I have to get back in. I have to get into the gym, I think. Been locked down too long.
Not only did they go get Will, but they went and got they got Stephen Adams too. So they like we were saying before, they went and they really got the Southern Hemisphere kind of covered now with the with those two additions. So and both of those guys bring huge toughness. Like I said, that was something they really wanted to do this year.
I think it's great. I mean, when you've got young guys as well, you want to be able to protect those bodies, I guess. And you're putting Stephen Adams in there, you know, all of a sudden it's not Zion that has to go and set the screen every time. It's not the Derek Favors who might be wearing them a bit harder than Stephen Adams does. I think they voted last year who was the toughest guy in the NBA, and they were saying Stephen Adams. Like, it's a testament.
He is a huge hunk of man. He is just a large human being who I forgot, somebody posted a video or a gif of, you know, what it's going to be like if somebody has to, you know, run against a screen of Adams and Zion, and it was a guy running into a pole. And it's like, that's kind of what it is. I mean, they are, Griff even mentioned it today. He goes, just imagine, you know, a double screen getting set by Zion and Stephen Adams. You got 284 pounds of Zion Williamson, 270 pounds almost of Stephen Adams, of all muscle. I mean, they could lead the league in concussions per screen set. That's how hard these guys are going to go. Brandon Ingram should get so many wide open shots if it's just a three-man game of, you know, B.I. coming off, or if you're going off the ball with J.J. Redick and J.J. Redick's coming around those double screens. I mean, you have so much to be able to build on by having those two guys, you know, at the top of your lineup. That kind of toughness is going to, I think, help them when it comes to the proposed lack of shooting. Because, yeah, you didn't exactly have lack of shooting last year with Derek Favors. However, the Derek Favors, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, starting lineup was the fourth most efficient lineup in the NBA in terms of net efficiency of any lineup that played at least 150 minutes. And that was with a non-shooter at the center spot in Derek Favors, which is what you have in Stephen Adams. So really, you're swapping out Stephen Adams for Derek Favors, which I think that's a plus for Stephen Adams at this point. You're swapping out Drew Holiday for Eric Bledsoe, which I think it's probably an overall negative on the versatility of which you can defend. You could have put Drew on 1, 2, 3, or 4. And I think what you have now is you can put, you know, Eric Bledsoe is probably the only guy who can defend 1, 2, 3. However, Eric can get you probably more set up in the half court. So I think the shooting is going to be about the same, but it's all going to kind of come down to what Stephen Adams can do and how he fits with Zion.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of conjecture about needing a shooter and going and finding a shooting big man. We need more spacing. Well, we were already shooting threes. That's the thing, is we've got enough of it. So
I think they were seventh in the league last year in threes per game and sixth in percentage. And you're bringing back J.J. Redick, who was doing great there. You bring him now. The biggest thing on the percentage-wise is going to have to be if Lonzo and Brandon Ingram can keep up their shooting, which I think they can, if especially Brandon Ingram. If you look at his free throw percentage, that's going to be a big deal. Now, if Lonzo can do it, that's going to go a long way. And obviously, Eric Bledsoe has had some struggles in the postseason, but I think for the regular season, at least he should be okay.
Yes, and speaking of Brandon Ingram, he put pen to paper, I think it was this morning or today at some point, a 5-year deal. We've got the guy. So happy with that. Great result.
Yeah, and no player option on that, you know, on that deal either, which I think is a big win for the Pelicans. The fact that they don't have a player option, they locked him up for a straight 5 years, is a huge win for New Orleans in that regard.
Yeah, I suppose it avoids the situation where they can hold you over the barrel of a gun, whether or not they're going to opt in or not. And then you have to trade them after year three rather than year four if they look like they're going to run. But instead, you get them right through to the end of the fifth year, which I think, yeah, absolute win. That's a great result.
Yeah.
So I think Lonzo's due for an extension as well. Do you think that
Lonzo and Josh Ball and Josh Hart are Lonzo and Josh Ball. Lonzo and Josh Hart are both due for extensions. They have not started talks, I think, with either one of them. I think they're kind of waiting till training camp. I would think Josh Hart probably gets an extension more than Lonzo right now. Again, kind of going back, I think the Pelicans also want to see, while I feel optimistic about his chances, I think they also want to see what Lonzo shows back up and how he's going to play in this kind of new off the ball, on the ball type role where he's not primarily the ball handler every single play. So, but both of those guys are up for extensions. And if you don't sign them to an extension, you're in the same spot as you are, as you were with Brandon Ingram, where he's technically a restricted free agent and you can match any deal that comes to him next year.
That's what we want. You know, and then you have that cap flexibility as well. I mean, you can lock people up and then all of a sudden he goes and has this average season and you go, well, now he's even less valuable than when you can get rid of him, say someone else matches. What's your forecast for this year? I mean, it's a bit up in the air. We get 72 games starting 22nd of December. What do you think's going to happen?
I hope it happens. I'll say this. You know, just kind of looking at how I mean, Major League Baseball lost games, the NFL lost games, but I do think how the NBA is setting up their schedule. They're only announcing a certain amount of games up until a certain point, and then they're going to announce the other part later on. It's going to give them the flexibility to make up games. Hopefully, midway through the season, there's a vaccine of some sort that comes through to kind of, calm things down a little bit. We can kind of move on from there. However, in terms of the actual season, it's just the West is just so tough. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Mavericks, the Suns are going to be really good this year. The Warriors are going to be back to doing what they were doing. The Grizzlies are still there. The Trailblazers are still there. Who knows what's going to happen with the Rockets? I mean, I could see them being at the top if things go right, or if they end up having to make trades, they could be out of it. You never wanted to count out the Spurs. I mean, there's just so many good teams right now. That I think you're almost in the same spot that you were in last year, to where if you can fight for a playoff spot, good. But if not, it's not that big of a deal. Because of the play-in tournament, though, I think your goal has to be to get to the play-in tournament at least. The way the play-in tournament's going to work, the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds all are going to play for those last two spots. The 7 and 8 seed are going to play. Then the 9 and 10 are going to play. Winner of the 7-8 is in, obviously, at the 7 spot. Winner of the 9-10 moves on to play the loser of that game, and then that team has to win again. So you have to win two to get in, and then the 7 and 8 teams both have two chances to stay in. I think you have to think that you feel like you should be in that tournament, whether you're the 9 or the 10. You have to have a chance to play yourself into the playoffs. And if you can do that, even if you lose, I think that's a good start, I think, for the Pels.
Yeah, completely agree. I think you have to be in the mix at least to show all the money, I suppose, you've put into everyone to at least show some sort of progress. Andrew, I'd like to thank you for coming on. I think I'll let you get back to it. Appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
It's been a busy even as we're doing this, it's trying to get some things done. But always a pleasure to talk to you, my man.
I appreciate it. Get back into the writing. Bring us that news. We appreciate it, and thank you very much.
All right, man. We'll do.
All right. Cheers.
So, thank you very much to Andrew for jumping on. That was really interesting and enlightening. Hope everyone got a kick out of it as much as I did. Make sure, as we said, you go and follow _Andrew Lopez on Twitter Fantastic guy. Awesome of him to join us again. I'm at Lyle Swithenbank. This is at Hoopball Pels at the show. Make sure you tweet us if you want to get in on any of the fantasy leagues and the like that have been all over Twitter. Make sure you hit us up as well, or Dan Besperus, because he's organising all those for the Hoopball Leagues. So you can do those as well. But anyway, I think I'll leave it at that. I'll speak to you all next time. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.